I gather we're now in a position to speak to the former Prime Minister, Sir John Major. John Major, good afternoon to you.
Good afternoon.
And thank you very much indeed for coming to BBC Studio in Portland Place. No doubt you'll be, I suspect, joining in some of the occasions to follow. But this clearly is an important day for Anglo-Irish relations. And you did your bit in bringing it about. Yourself and Albert Reynolds, I think, worked initially to bring Prince Charles to Ireland. That was an important occasion as well in about 1995.
It was all a long time ago, that. But I think at the moment, Anglo-Irish relations are probably as good as I can ever recall them being, certainly as good as any time they've been in my lifetime. And they appear to be getting better, both in terms of trade and the wider field of politics. It's very refreshing to see what a success the Queen's visit to Ireland was a while ago. And I've no doubt President Higgins' visit to the UK will be just as successful.
I know the nature of the conversations the Prime Minister has with the Sovereign are confidential, but can you give us some of the flavour, maybe, or the concerns that you and she would have discussed when you were Prime Minister and you would have called to see her at Buckingham Palace?
Well, I certainly can't go into any detail, as you appreciate, but we would certainly have discussed every aspect of the problems in Northern Ireland and the relationship with Ireland during the complete period I was at Number 10. They were both very important issues at that time.
But would the idea of her visiting the Republic of Ireland or a presidential state visit to this country have been so far into the distance that it wasn't even part of your conversation at that stage?
I think we had to make more progress with the peace process before that was a practical proposition, either for us, I think, in London or indeed for Dublin. So it wasn't on the forefront of the agenda. But it was something we looked forward to happening at some future date. And now, mercifully, it has, and very successfully.
And the President, as we say, or as we know, is going to speak to both houses of Parliament later today. What are you expecting from that address? What kind of themes do you think he will touch on?
Well, I think predominantly I expect the President to look forward to the future, to look at the present relationship and how we develop it. Of course, he will cast an eye back to our joint history. There's much to be said and a great deal to be discussed. But I suspect the thrust of what he will have to say is how we build upon the relations that now exist and ensure they're first entrenched and secure, and second, they continue to improve. Because we have a lot of joint interest, not least, of course, in the European Union.
And speaking of which, there's a lot of debate and discussion, some of it very intense, about whether Britain should remain in the European Union. And the suggestion is that it's by no means a foregone conclusion that if there is a referendum, that the people of Britain will vote to remain in the EU.
I would be very shocked if they didn't. The European Union often frustrates. It frustrates many people, including me. But I think the balance of advantage is that Britain remain in the European Union, and I expect that is what is going to happen. It would be very bad for Britain, I think, if we left. But the second point, which people often overlook, is that it would be very bad for the European Union as well. They would be losing their second biggest economy, the country with the longest foreign policy reach in the European Union, and one of only two countries with a mature, significant military presence. So for a European Union that wishes to look China and America in the eye as equals, to lose a country like the United Kingdom would be a big blow. So I think there is pressure on both sides for the negotiations that are to come to be successful. That is in British interest, it's in European interest, and actually, to a very large extent, it's in Ireland's interest as well. And I very much hope, therefore, that when we come to the referendum, that there'll be a clear majority for remaining as a full member.
We're certainly somewhat distracted, Sir John, by the music coming from outside, but I think they're playing happy tunes and harmonious ones. but do you think there are particular concessions that will be really vital for Britain to achieve? David Cameron has talked about renegotiating the terms of Britain's membership. Where do you think the emphasis is going to be?
Well, I don't want to undercut the Prime Minister's negotiating position. And to be frank, I learnt when I was negotiating with Europe in the 1990s that other people in a position to know, expressing views as to what may happen, is not at all a help. Indeed, it's a positive hindrance to the negotiations. So if you'll forgive me, I'm not going to go into details. I have a very clear idea of what we ought to aim for and what I believe the Prime Minister will aim for. But I've no intention of talking about that, because I think it will make life more difficult for him when it comes to the negotiations. And I wish to offer him support and not problems.
Does that suggest that you still feel almost scarred by the people who made life difficult for you during your premiership, people shouting from the wings, so to speak?
That was all a long while ago. I'm much more concerned with making sure the negotiations are successful, because I very strongly believe, despite the frustrations of Europe, of which there are many, as I said, I very strongly believe that it's in the interest of our future, of my children and my grandchildren, that we remain in the European Union and don't isolate ourselves as a nation adrift from Europe and adrift from the sort of influence in the world that we presently have. So it is that that activates me, not any personal concerns at all.
You probably don't want to either to say anything that might cause trouble ahead of the Scottish referendum, but are you as concerned about that, which is a referendum that we know is definitely taking place, as you are about the one that may take place in a few years' time about Europe?
Well, I think there's no doubt that Britain and Scotland are stronger together than they are separately. If Scotland were to leave the United Kingdom, we would both be diminished. Britain would have less influence in the world. And Scotland would find, if it sought to become a member of the European Union, that firstly, it would take a long time for them to join. And there's no certainty that countries like Spain, who have separatist movements in Catalonia, would actually be in favour of them joining. It's not a done deal. It's not a certainty. Nothing is given there. And secondly, if Scotland are concerned that they are overwhelmed by the number of Englishmen in the cabinet, well, typically, in a cabinet of 20, there are four Scots. In a European Union of 500 million plus, there might, and wouldn't necessarily, there might be one Scottish commissioner. So if they're really concerned that they don't have enough clout in the United Kingdom, the clout that they have in the European Union would be infinitely less. Now, I've always had a very friendly relationship with Scotland, and I think it is very much in their interest to remain inside the United Kingdom for a raft of economic and political reasons. I think their future is better off inside the United Kingdom, and it would be a great blow to the United Kingdom to lose them, because their influence in the United Kingdom is very important.
And finally, we know that there is on Thursday going to be a Northern Ireland themed reception here at Windsor, hosted by Queen Elizabeth. And we're going to have people, we know that Martin McGuinness is going to the state dinner tonight, but there will be people from both sides here on Thursday at the reception then. Do you think that's the kind of occasion that may help the politicians, maybe through a friendly word or exchange, have the determination or find the wherewithal to have another go at tackling the problems, the roadblocks that are still there and stubbornly refuse, it seems, to go away?
I don't have any doubt about that. As Churchill once said, jaw is better than war. And the more ministers, sometimes with opposing views, and people with opposing views meet, the more they understand what their opponent is concerned about, and the easier it then becomes to find a settlement. I recall when Albert Reynolds and I were talking in the early days about the peace process, that I spent more hours than I care to remember trying to think myself into the mind of the IRA. I wished to know what was activating them. How would they react? What would they think about this? What would they do about that? What really was aggravating their hostility to the United Kingdom? Because I thought unless I understood that, I would be in a weaker position in trying to put an end to it. And I think that applies with almost every problem you ever face. It certainly applies to current problems like flags. And so, yes, I strongly agree with your proposition that people meeting together in a social gathering certainly helps negotiation and problem solving when it comes to dealing with those.
And from what you were able to find out afterwards, how good do you think you became at thinking yourself into the minds of the IRA?
Well, I think that's for others to judge, rather than myself. But I think by the time I'd been doing it for a while, and taking a lot of advice, I may say, I didn't just lock myself up in a room and think by myself, though I certainly did that. But I also took advice from a lot of people who knew Northern Ireland and the Republic of Ireland much better than I did. And I think, therefore, that I was much better informed and much more able to deal with whatever happened in understanding the psychology of what lay behind the dispute. That is important. History is important. The psychology of what is in other people's minds is always critical. If you don't understand that, you aren't going to reach a solution to any serious problem.
Sir John Major, thank you very much indeed for joining us on this special programme to mark the state visit of President Higgins to the United Kingdom.